I'm sure this never happens to anyone but me. Have you ever gone into a room because there's something you're looking for, there's something you need to find, and you get to the room and you can't remember what it is you're looking for? Sure, it only happens to me. And what do? You don't leave the room. You keep looking for it, even though you don't know what it is, hoping that maybe if you find it, you'll know. Right? Maybe if you find what it is, that whatever it was you're looking for, you'll go, oh yeah, that's it. That's what I was looking for. Doesn't work very well though, because in order to find what you're looking for, you kind of need to know what it is, so you know where to look. Kind of need to know what size it is. I mean, is it on the floor? Is it on a table? Is it under the bed? Would it fit? You kind of need to know something about it, why you needed it, why you were looking for it. That might help. It doesn't really help to just kind of keep looking when you don't know what you're looking for. But we do it. We do it all the time. Now, throughout the past 40 so days of Lent, we've been operating under a pretty specific assumption at St. Paul's. And that assumption is that God is all around us. And holiness, by which I mean opportunities to experience God and come closer to God, are all around us. We're kind of like kids in the midst of an Easter egg hunt. Maybe that's why we hide and hunt eggs. We're kind of like kids in the midst of an Easter egg hunt. The eggs are all around, mostly in plain sight sometimes, but we just have to look for them. We have to know where to look. We have to know what we're looking for. We have to change our perspective enough to see it. But God's there all around us. We just have to know where to look. And to do that, we need to know what we're looking for. Today is about not looking, but finding. It's about that moment of discovery, that thrill of discovery. The change that happens to Mary when she goes from not recognizing Jesus to suddenly recognizing Him, discovering that He's there. How can we recognize the risen Christ if we don't know what He looks like? How can we recognize Jesus in our lives if we don't know what to look for? How can we recognize God's love and God's presence all around us if we're not really sure what that's like? One of the most fascinating things about this story, and it's not just Mary, it happens at the tomb with Mary. It happens in another story with a couple of disciples who are walking on the road on the way to a town called Emmaus, right? Jesus shows up, talks to them. They have no idea who He is. It happens to the disciples while they're fishing. They are out in their boat, back in their comfort zone, safe on the water, doing their fishing thing, and somebody calls to them from the beach and says, hey, maybe you want to try this another way, and they don't know it's Jesus. And the biggest mystery to me is, how can they not know it's Jesus? They've just spent every waking moment of the past 3 years with Him. They've just spent every agonizing second of the past 3 days grieving for Him. So how do they not recognize Him when He shows up? Now, I don't think it's because He's got some sort of special glorified body thing. Mary doesn't mistake Him for an angel. She sees angels in the tomb. That's not Jesus. She mistakes Him for a gardener. Now, unless there's something about gardeners in the first century, I don't know. Gardeners are ordinary, everyday people. He looks like an ordinary, everyday person. And she doesn't recognize that He's Jesus. He's not where she expects Him to be, namely in the tomb. He's not doing what she expects Him to be doing, lying there not moving. He's not anything like she'd expect. And maybe even if she did have an inkling that He could rise from the dead, then maybe she expected this big, you know, rays of light and wings and halos and white robes. And clearly, again, unless gardeners were wearing all white, which doesn't make a lot of sense, clearly He doesn't look any different than an ordinary person would look. But He's not what she expects to see. And our brains are very funny about that. We see what we expect to see. We hear what we expect to hear. Married couples know this. We hear what we expect to hear. We see what we expect to see. Took y'all a minute there. That was a joke. Took you a second. We don't see Jesus around us in other people if we don't expect to see Him there. And we don't see God and God's love and God's presence all throughout the world around us if we're not expecting to see it there. We have to know what we're looking for. Now, I think that a great many people, perhaps all people, I think all people, are looking for something. Everybody, I think, has this sense of looking for something. Whatever that something is, it's meaning, it's purpose, it's direction, it's connection with other people. We're looking for something. And like when you go into a room and you've forgotten what it is you're looking for, it seems that our MO is, maybe if we just keep looking for this something, we'll recognize it when we find it. Maybe we don't need to know what we're looking for. If we just keep looking for whatever it is that we think is going to bring us meaning and purpose and direction and connection, maybe we'll remember when we find it that that's what it was we were looking for. And less often, people articulate that as God. It used to be that people kind of understood, maybe, that something you're looking for was God, or was the holy, or was however you might put words to that, but was that God thing, that holiness thing. But less and less often we say that. And I think more and more often people just have the sense of looking for something and not even knowing what it is. Why is that? Like Mary and the disciples, how do we not recognize what we're looking for? And I think part of it is that those who should claim to know about what it is we're looking for, the church, we've done a kind of poor job communicating what God looks like. We've done a kind of poor job communicating what the risen Christ looks like. And so if people go looking for something, thinking, you know, if it's God, it must be this, then they're not really finding God anymore. I think we haven't celebrated enough what it is that we've found. God is not an easy answer. There are a lot of difficult questions out in the world. God is not just the easy band-aid answer. God's about struggle and challenge. God is not blind obedience that closes our minds to other things and people. God represents that very real and difficult challenge of what it means to truly love one another and truly love God. That's not easy. That's not black and white. That's not an open and shut case. That's tough. God is not strong-arming people, bullying them into doing what needs to be done. God leads us and guides us. God is not about fear and punishment, do this or else. God is about blessing, do this and. Life, abundant life. God is not distant and far away and up in a cloud somewhere where we can't see. God is here, around us. God is not pompous piety. I'm important. I know God. I have my life all put together and you should all be just like me and respect me because I've got God. Pompous, arrogant piety that says, you know, God must be this pristine thing. No, God's about life, and life is messy. As the late youth pastor and author Mike Iaconelli says, God is about the messiness of life, the messiness of spirituality. That's the name of this book, Messy Spirituality. Life's a mess out there, and God's in the midst of that mess helping us. And most importantly, as Mary learns at the tomb first, God is not about death. God is not the God of the dead. God is about life, abundant life, eternal life. Is that what we're telling people to look for? Abundance and joy and life, that's God? That the meaning and the purpose and the connection and the direction in life that is joyful, that is about connection with others, that is about love of oneself, of one's God, of one's neighbors. That is God. That is what we're looking for. Do we tell people that? Are we clear enough about that? Maybe you're here today because you're one of the people looking for something.
And you're not always sure what it is or where it is or if you found it or not.
God can be elusive like that sometimes, and that's okay. Or maybe you're here today because you think you have found it. You've got that God thing, or most of the time anyway. And that's good, and that's okay. But are you sure you know what you're looking for? And are you sure you found it? And if you are, Mary has a moment. She's not sure what she's looking for at first. Who are you looking for? She's not sure who she's looking for at first, but when she recognizes it, when she finds him, or he finds her and calls her name, and she recognizes him, then in that moment, her focus changes. It's not about finding him, and it's not about caring for him and trying to prepare his body for you know, a better burial than he was able to be given on the night of his death. It's about telling other people. If you know what you found, if you're sure of what you found, then like Mary, you run off and tell everybody, I have seen the risen Lord. I have seen Christ in the face of this gardener. That was him. I have seen him walking on this road. I didn't even recognize him at first. I have seen him calling to me from the shoreline saying, hey, try casting your nets out of the other side of the boat again, like I told you before. We don't tell people enough about the joy we've found. We don't tell people enough about what that God thing looks like, I think, for them to share in that joy of discovery as well. So are we ready to tell people where to look? Are we ready to tell people what we found and what it is like for us so that they can know what they're looking for? We don't go looking in tombs. We don't go looking in temples or churches or empty spaces or buildings for the risen Christ. We don't go looking in the midst of fear or strict rules or piety. We go looking for the risen Christ in the faces of others, in gardeners, in bank tellers and checkout clerks and post office workers and teachers and students and crosswalk guards and whoever else we encounter, and friends and loved ones and family. We go looking for the risen Christ where he lives, in each and every person. So we look for him in love and life and laughter and all the messiness and challenge that entails. And may we find him there. May we find the risen Christ once we know who we're looking for, and share the joy of that discovery with others. Amen.